All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. A lot of folks don't understand us, I know that. But they would if they know where you brought us from, what you did for us, and how much we appreciate it. And dear Father, there's so much we don't know. There's so much we need to learn. God, we're not arrived yet. We're not even foolish enough to think that we have it all together. We like so much. But dear Lord, one thing's for sure, no one will love you like we do. We can love you as equal as anyone else. And one thing is for sure, too, as we learn, we try our best to be transformed. And as you transform us, to be conformed, not to this world, but to the home we're going to. And even then, there's not anybody in this world, can't look at anyone in this room tonight or member our church if they want to and find something they don't like. Find something, Lord, that they could criticize us about. But I'm glad, praise be unto God, Jesus has washed us in His blood, and God sees us filtered through the blood. And therefore, He sees us clean because of the precious blood of Jesus. And dear Lord, that keeps us going on. Dear God, I said Sunday, it amazes me how that sometimes in preaching messages, I'll get letters that just very antagonistic and very much against. And yet, the Lord, I've got to mention, the last 2 weeks, I've not got a letter at all, but those that which would build up and be thankful. Thank you for those precious letters I got. Dear Lord, for the youth, from the others in the church, from some who are not even in our church now, it used to be. Dear Lord, you are letting us know that at the time when things are hard, dear Lord, you're letting us know if you stand by the stuff, God will honor that down the road somewhere or another. He lives forever to bring about His promises. And we thank you for that. Now we're finishing the Gospel of John tonight, Father, as we come to this portion of Scripture to end up this Gospel. Thank you for letting us for 4 years now, February 2005, we've been walking in John, from John 1 now to the end, every Wednesday night that we had the Bible study. The Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful for the fact that there is those who recognize it takes much studying to be able to speak 3 or 4 times a week and try not to be boring. And yet, at the same time, I realize that many times things have to be repeated because we are creatures of gradualism. We learn more by repetition than we do otherwise. So tonight, as we finish this, thank you for the walk. May we've grown some. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here we got down to verse 20 last week, and we'll pick that up again. We'll go back, and we see that Peter's past has been forgotten here. And what developed this is only just a few verses here, but think with me now. I've said to you, Peter's past has been forgotten. I think it's been under the blood. I know this. Jesus has said, follow me. And back in verse 19, when John wrote this particular time, he said that Peter probably had died when he actually wrote the Gospel of John. Peter's past is forgotten. And God had already said that Peter would glorify God in his own death. Now, here's what I want you to think with me. Sometimes I stop and think, why wouldn't Peter be elated and never question the Lord about anything? Why wouldn't Peter have learned something? Why would Peter have to be rebuked by Christ now in the next few verses after he had come back as far as he had come back since he had denied the Lord Jesus? This is amazing to me. And here, as we get into this, now the Lord, what he says, then Peter's turning, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And we go back, and we know this is the Apostle John. And Peter, seeing him, said unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Now, I visualize the Lord and the disciples walking alone together, and somewhere along the way as they talk, Peter said, Lord, you've told me all about my future. What about John's? Well, first of all, why would he even be concerned about John's future? He's the one that had a rough trail. But at this time now, Peter is restored. Lord, you told me all about my future now. What about John? Now, why would he say that? I don't know. It might have been that Peter was concerned because he knew back over in chapter 19. He wasn't there when it happened, but he knew in chapter 19 that Jesus had given his mother to John to look at her. So I like to think the benefit of that. Could Peter have been said, well, what about John? Joseph is dead now for sure, because you look in verse 27, said, then he said to the disciple, behold, thy mother, and from that hour that disciple took her into her home. And after this, Jesus knew that all things were accomplished, he said, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. In other words, behold thy mother. And so John took his mother into his home at that time to look at her. I don't know about the other children that's involved, but I know this, Jesus no longer is going to have to look after her. And evidently, that's proof that Joseph had died. Now, he has given his mother to John for the purpose of looking after. So maybe Peter said, what about John? It's speculation, but in my mind, could he have been talking about, well, what about John? He's looking after your mother. But then Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, it's interesting how a phrase can be said and people misunderstand what he said. Because it says later, then went out the saying abroad unto the brethren, that that disciple shall not die. Yet Jesus said unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Can you imagine if the Lord had willed John to tarry till he come, John still be alive today? Wouldn't that be a wonderful person to sit down and talk to after 2,000 years? Wouldn't that be some historical events he could? And Jesus said, if I will, what is that to you? If I will, then he lives until I come. And Jesus has not come back yet. So therefore, if he'd have willed that he'd live till he comes, he'd still be around somewhere or another. Newsmen to have trouble. I wonder what newsmen would do about him if that had taken place. How could they lie to such a man? How could they tell lies about such a man like that? I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would. Jesus rebuked Peter, reminded him that it was not his job. Here's the thing. It is not Peter's job to meddle in lies of other believers. His job, and notice what he said again, back up here in verse 22. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Thee, follow thou me. He said it twice. He told him that up in verse, back in 19, and now he tells him that again. Peter, it is not your place to meddle in the lies of other believers. Your place is just to follow me. Now, Peter would have known that because, you know, he knew what it was to get his eyes off the Lord. He got his eyes off the Lord the night he was betrayed. He got his eyes off the Lord when he was walking on the water. And he certainly got his eyes off the Lord now. It may have been a good gesture. It may have been something good that he thought. But in essence, the Lord showed him his life. The only thing that really mattered was his life. It's like two people trying to follow God, but they look like a different little way. So I said, boy, if I could preach like so-and-so, I'd love to preach. If I could teach like so-and-so, I'd love to teach. Listen, you and I will never be able to preach or teach like so-and-so. We have to let God use us as we are. That's right. And this is the thing. I mean, can you see someone say, well, boy, I'd love to be a bus captain and witness. You'd have to approach things a lot different than you would if you were just a deacon. Well, I'd like to be a deacon. You'd have to approach different than you would a bus captain. Well, I'd like to be a Sunday school teacher. There's ways you're going to have to approach it different than you would as a pastor or a deacon. You see what I'm saying? In other words, God uses us where we're at to perform the deed collectively. We're all in the body of Christ according to the Church of Corinth and in Corinthians, and we are everyone placed in that body by the Holy Spirit of God. He's baptized us into the body. So I don't know where we're at, but I'll tell you, I don't care if I'm a toenail on the toe, I'm just as important to that body than the hand or up in higher. As a matter of fact, I found out the toes are a lot more important sometimes we think they are. Cut one off and see how good you can stand up. I mean, it amazes me getting her off of and see what happens to your feet. I'm amazed, and I want to say this, but I'm amazed. Brother Forrest just blesses my heart. That young man can do most things. He can do things I couldn't even think about doing. He's a plumb blessing. You did? he need to teach you, brother. He can do more with one hand. You can with two. Right? But it is the truth. That's an amazing young man. That's exactly right. And here, I'm just telling you, where we're at, God can use us no matter where we're at, but he'll use us as we are. He knows what's in us to bring forth to use us for the glory of God. And if I tried to do something I'm not cut out to be, I'll be a miserable failure. And what you do, you take a step of that and let God elevate you. God has to elevate us. And He'll do it. You start out in the talent seat, and He just keeps elevating. You'll get put down. You'll get talked about. You'll get criticized. Some of the best friends will make fun of you. Some of the people you try to deal with will make such a terrible thing, and you feel like quitting. But God, you just stay there, and God will bring you. He'll bring the cream to the top. That's all there is to it. What others do does not excuse me for what I have to do, and it should not you and I. Then look in verse 23, he said, and they went, and then went forth that saying, yet Jesus said unto him, he will not die, but he didn't say that he will not die, that if I tarry until he come, what is that to you? You see, the future of John was not Peter's business. God had told Peter his future. Peter would have been glad. He told him we're going to die until he got old age. There'd been a time I'd love to hear that. Now I'm old age, I guess it didn't matter. But he told Peter he was not going to die until he got to be old. And the thing about it is, John was really the first cousin of Jesus. And Peter would have enough. And you and I know this. Peter would have enough to look after himself. Because we know how Peter is, brother. Peter is like some of us. Except he may have been worse than some of us. I have never cursed and swore I didn't know the Lord. Even unsaved, I've been afraid to do that because I was a religious hypocrite sitting at a church. Have you ever cursed and swore you didn't know the Lord? You may have cursed sometime by His name. Hope you hadn't, but you may have. But the cursing swear you ever knew Him? Peter's going to have trouble with himself. Hey, but the day of Pentecost come, and from there on out, Peter had some problems. But he grew every step of the way. He wasn't one bit afraid to die when it came for him to die. He was afraid when they arrested Christ, wasn't he? Out of fear, he did some things he wouldn't do otherwise. But the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and there from on out, he grew in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Jesus did not say that John would not die. Some thought that he would not die, and they misread it, misquoted it, and it went out abroad that particular way. Look in verse 24. He said, now, we leave the fact of the conversation. That's all it said. There's a lot to be learned about Peter there. That's all it said. Verse 24 said, this is the disciple which testify of these things. John always writes from himself as another person. I don't understand that. I don't think he was ashamed to name him. But maybe some reason he thought or felt to use his name would take away. Maybe there's some things he wrote so that any name could look, am I in that situation? I don't know. But I know he said, this is the disciple which testified these things. What's the disciples in the singular? This is the disciple which testified these things and wrote these things. So this disciple wrote these things. Then it says, and we. Now, who's the we? The disciples? Well, not necessarily. We know that was included in them. We know that his testimony is true. And when you think about that, if I look over in 1 John, I had a message a few weeks ago, I preached, and I went to this. And in 1 John chapter, well, let's see, 1 Peter chapter 5, first of all, in verse 1, he says, the elders which are among you exhort, who am also an elder. He was a disciple, he was an apostle, but he's also an elder. And here we is talking about some people who were in charge like an elder. I do know he's talking about disciples. Some people said he'd be talking about some of the, like the elders of the church of Ephesus. I do know this, that everyone that had witnessed this could be brought into the we. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 7, he goes a little bit deeper and he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands handled of the word of life. Now, John is writing, but he uses the word also, notice, we. So he's including the disciples here, I'm sure, in 1 John. Because he said, they didn't say anything here about seeing, hearing, and handling, but he said, we know these things are true. By the way, I can say that today. I know these things are true by faith. I know that. But I think here, since the Holy Spirit hadn't come, he's talking about literally. And so he says in verse 3, John said in chapter 1 John 1, verse 1, He said, we've heard, we've seen, we've looked, we've handled the word of life. We know for John 1, that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. By the way, that's the same thing we're doing, except we're doing it by the word that's written, and by faith, getting others to see it. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Muhammad, Confucius, no, Jesus Christ. That's who it is. His Son, Jesus Christ. Did you get that? I can't believe He's the Son. Yes, He is. He's declared that all through the Scriptures, His Son. And then He goes on and said, and these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. This then is the message. We have heard of Him, declared unto you. Now, I like that part, because, ladies and gentlemen, this is the message that I'm giving you now, that I've heard of Him. See, I can say that. I'm not seeing Him with a physical eye, but I've seen Him by faith. But I can tell you I've heard of Him, so can you. We can tell the world. And He said simply this. He said, this is the message which we have heard of Him. And not only have we heard, but declare unto you, what is that? That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Boy, that's good preaching. I mean, that's what you call John writing. And he goes on, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Hey, you know why? Because there's fellowship with Him. You know, when fellowship gets out one another, there's always fellowship. Disfellowship with Him. Because fellowship with Him will cause us to be fellowship with each other. And he goes on and he says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. There it is again. What does He do? Cleanses us from what? 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 All sin. You know what that is? Past, present, and future. Now somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Bless God. You can live like you want to. No, you won't. If you're right, you'll live like you want to. It'd be like God wants you to, because that's what you want to do. But what He's telling us, realize that when God saves us, He seals it. Now, I like that. They're saying, we know that His testimony is true. Verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose. Now, I like that. Somebody say, well, boy, I don't know that. Somebody say, talking about big as this world? He said, I suppose that even the world, itself cannot contain the books that should be written to Him. Some say He's talking about the earth as a whole. But I'll tell you what. What he said is comparison. There's so much that God's Son did when He was here. He couldn't write them all down. But I tell you this. God picked the choice places to show us who He is. Out of all of that He did for 33 and a half years. And by the way, He closed up from the time He was born to He was 12. And then He closed it up again from the time He was 12 to He was 30. And what we have is the time He was born and a moment when He was 12 and when He was 30 to 33 and a half years old. And in essence, we have a little more than 3.5 years of His life. And look what we've got. Think about the other 30 years. No wonder the writer said that. Hey, be honest with your life. If you're 60, 70 years old, you got a big book if you write everything you did. I'm glad God don't write everything. I'm glad the blood cleanses that. Some of those books are clean, aren't you? But just think what could happen in your life if you had to write a book from the day you were born. There's a lot of things we've done. We look innocent, but there's a lot of things we've done. Amen? I like that. Now, the sum total of John's writing was only the fringe of the fear of the hem of His garment about Jesus' glorious life, about His humanity. And that's what He's writing us. See, the only thing we're seeing here is Christ in His humanity as God. Look at what... Hey, if you really understand, He's not only talking about, as far as the earth is concerned, right, not contained it, but if you look at His humanity, that's a lot. But wait a minute, He's from everlasting to that time. That'd probably fill up the universe. You think about who He is. This is only a small portion as to what He has done. And since we know He hadn't wrote it all, then also, one of these days, we'll see Him face to face. And when I finished this here a few weeks ago, I wrote this down. Then we also will say, my, the half was never told. Isn't that amazing? The half was never told. And then I put this down in meditation. Maybe then He will tell us the rest of the story. And I got that from Paul Harvey. He died about the time I was finishing a touch on this thing. Maybe then He'll tell us the rest of the story. Amen. Father, thank You again for the book. Thank You for the study. Lord, there's so much. And I guess I have a vantage because I have the notes where I've written all this time where I can go back to and study again. But I thank You for the journey. Lord, I'd like to think I'm a little better than I was when we started. But I realize Paul, I've not arrived yet. And I realize, Lord, I have to deal with people, so sometimes I have to take stands. I have to make decisions some people don't like. I know that. And I'll have to live with that. But I know this, my thinking always is try to be biblical. Try my best to be. And now we walk with You, and I feel like this has made me somewhat closer. And I hope it has those who come week after week. Some of these people hadn't missed a service, Lord, for the last 4 years in the Gospel of John. And we walk with You, we rejoice. We felt like shouting. Sometimes we've seen the sadness, we've seen Your sorrow, we see Your bruise, dear Lord, a man of sorrow, and yet think of the joy that You saw beyond Calvary because people like us will one day believe the record You gave of Your Son. And in that record, Lord, trust in Jesus as Savior, You perform the marvelous miracle of the new birth that we might be saved. Dear Lord, that's worthy to be told. That's the reason we go and even though we know we'll go and go and may not see someone saved, Lord, we're still doing our best to get the gospel out, pass a track out, talk to someone. Lord, we knock on doors and we're there to talk. Someone says no and close the door. We just go on because we know now we can't do anything unless You open it up. And so, Lord, we trust You for that. Thank You again for this study. Bless Your people. Dear Father, I pray that some have been closer to You because of it. And we've seen a little bit about our Lord that we wouldn't have seen otherwise had it not been a study of the Gospel of John. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.